Now there's space to repent. Been so long as I used this thing. I do want to record this. I'm trying to get the Word of God out. Not that Eddie Wade's anything, and I know I'm nothing. That's good. Those that think they are something need to think again. God put His treasure in earthen vessels and gave us worth. I wasn't worth nothing. The only thing I'm worth right now is I'm a vessel. It's got that treasure of Jesus Christ inside. He gave me worth. And I wasn't worth a hill of beans before He saved me. But now that He saved me, hallelujah, He established my goings, put a song in my heart, drew me out of many waters, set my feet on a rock. And I tell you what, but I find in Him what I needed all along. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't hold it against me if I get all excited and shout all over the place. I ain't got over it yet. I got saved. Matter of fact, this year will be 29 years ago. And I'll be honest with you. My mama called me a fanatic. I still am. I can't get over it. I don't know how anybody can. But some do seem to think they can get over it. I'm not one of them. Amen. For any of you that want to have better health, anybody? Want to have better health? Well, I'll tell you 100% how to do that. I'm 63 years old. I don't even take a baby aspirin. I wasn't as strong when I was a teenager. I can outrun anybody in here, young or old. Probably pick up more than most of you in here, including Jeff back there, maybe even Philip. But I'm going to tell you the secret to health. You want to be healthy? Seriously? Want to be healthy? Want to see good days? The Bible tells you that Him wants to see good days, how to have that in the book of Peter. But I'm going to tell you how to have health. Take your Bible real quick, open it up. Proverbs chapter 4. God who cannot lie. Here's what He said. And believe you me, it works. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to start reading. Verse number 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Why? Look at verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them. And look, and health. You hear that? And health to all their flesh. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. I always thought about that being like lining up with the Word of God. He said, no, you need to eat a little of it. It's healthy. It'll help you live. Hebrews 4:12, Word of God, quick. He's going to judge the quick and the dead is appearing. The word quick means alive. Man. He seen His Word and He healed them. There's life and health in His Word. Now, I didn't read the Bible for healthy reasons. I just couldn't put it down. But you're looking at a man that's read the Bible completely through 17 times. I was on my 18th journey. My mama passed away. And I put my Bible down just for... I wasn't in the right mind to read it. I was only child, spoiled rotten. And I put my Bible down. I still gleaned from it. I've been feasting on what I read and learned for those 17 years. But I'll just tell you right now, if you want to have health, you just heard how to have it. You can be healthy. You get you a healthy diet of the Word of God, and you'll find out. God said, try me, and what? Prove me. You want to be healthy? Really, seriously? If nothing else, at least read the New Testament. You're going to find out those are lively stones. You're going to find out it's going to start working with your body. You're going to find out the same God. It said, let there be light. It's the same God, but it still says today, it's health to all those that find it. All right, let's get off of that. Luke chapter 23. Read four verses and then read one more verse and we'll go to God in prayer and preach. I don't plan on being brief. I ain't got to preach no so long. I hope you brought your lunch. Amen. Luke chapter 23. Starting in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 4 and then we'll jump over and read verse 14. Luke 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him, talking about Jesus, unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." Jump over to verse 14. Pilate again speaking, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him." And we'll stop our reading right there. I want to preach today, "I find no fault in him." Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the infallible, inspired, incorruptible word of God. The Lord, you said we do well to give the most earnest heed to it. We pray, God, today you'll open your words to us. Make them known to us. May you visit the hearts today from on high. Lord, you know every need in here. You can meet every need in here. I pray every soul be subject to you. I pray the Holy Spirit do his work. And for all these things, we give you praise and ask him in Jesus' name. Amen. Pilate mentioned concerning Jesus. He said, "I find no fault in him." Now, Jesus had said, "When I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw men unto me." And he said also again, "Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." That's John chapter 8, and John chapter number 12, where he talked about being lifted up. And I want you to know that he was lifted up to the highest scrutiny that a man could be put through. First of all, he was put to the scrutiny of Judas. By the way, he was a devil. John chapter 6, Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." By the way, God went ahead and gave us the name of him. He said, "Then Satan entered into Judas and he went out to sell him for 30 pieces of silver." So we know which devil he had. Satan said, "I'll take care of this one myself." And it was Satan in Judas that betrayed Jesus. And he was put to a scrutiny. And in that scrutiny, Brother Philip, that old devil went out and hung himself. He said, "I betrayed the innocent blood and the scrutiny even of the devil." He said, "He's innocent." Amen. Y'all sit there, I'll amen for you. He was brought then to Ananias. He's the father-in-law to the high priest Caiaphas or whatever it is. He's brought to Ananias first. And he prevailed against the scrutiny of Ananias. They took him from Ananias, the father-in-law, to the high priest Cleopas, I believe is his name. And he prevailed against the scrutiny of Cleopas. Then they brought him to Pilate. He prevailed against the scrutiny of Pilate. Then they took him to Herod, the king, and he prevailed against Herod and his men of war. And they brought him back to Pilate. And Pilate said, "I find no fault in him."
Amen.
He was put to the highest scrutiny, preacher.
Amen.
He was put to the highest scrutiny. Whew. Never a man speak like that man. Woo! I'm glad he couldn't find no fault in him. You know why? Because he made the captain my salvation perfect. If you find fault in him, I got to worry. But if you can't find no fault in him, I'm good to go. I don't know if y'all getting this or not. He was put to the highest scrutiny. And they couldn't find no fault in him. Now you can find fault in old Brother Eddie. You don't have to look that hard. You can find fault in Brother Philip.
Right.
I can find fault in you and you can find fault in me. Brother Jeff, they couldn't find no fault in him.
Man.
Praise God, you get this here in a minute. He's the captain of my salvation. He's the author of my salvation. He's the one that brought it. It was packaged up in him, amen. But oh me, to the highest scrutiny, they couldn't find no fault in him. And no one will. There's none to find. I'm telling you, buddy, even to this day, they try to find fault in him. And they misconstrue. They use feigned words. I know y'all don't know what that means, but it means they figure out some way. They do a lot of this today. They say a certain way. They try to project it a certain way. And they say, really, I didn't really say that. But that's what they're insinuating. They use feigned words. They brought him up. And they said, this man, he perverts the people. No, sir. This man preached all about the love of God. About hell and heaven. Amen. There wasn't no fault. But oh, they wanted to find one. But they never will.
That's right.
John saw him. John said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. He was God's Isaac. Now Abraham had a son. Genesis 22. God said, take his son, take him up on Mount Moriah and offer him there a sacrifice unto me. And listen, Isaac was willing, but Isaac had fault. This is God's Isaac. He had no fault, amen. You can scrutinize him. You can examine him. He's the Lamb, amen. Without spot, without blemish.
Right.
We wasn't redeemed with corruptible things.
Amen.
Silver and gold. But with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. He surpassed the highest scrutiny. Even today, oh, they'd love to find some fault with him, brother. Even today, they dig. Even today, they try to twist and turn and somehow find some fault with him. He said on this rock, talking about him, he said, I'll build my church.
Right.
And the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen.
You see, he's that chief cornerstone. He's that one they didn't want nothing to do with, but they couldn't build a church without him. And you can't neither. Neither can I. But oh, listen, he was held to the highest scrutiny, and they couldn't find no fault in him, glory to God. And listen, he was also, I find no fault in his scrutiny. I find no fault in his suffering. No one ever suffered like he did. We all got little aches and pains. We all complain about how we can't go like we used to go. And days gone by, the old song used to say, time has made a change. And those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end, all that kind of stuff. But oh, listen, his vestige was marred. More than any man, he was put to the highest degree of suffering. Oh, how he loves us.
Amen.
He allowed it. Servants, get this, servants, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, servants spit in his face. Servants smote him in the face and beat him upon the head. And he allowed it so Eddie Wade could be forgiven. So Eddie Wade could be saved. That's what I'm talking about, love.
Amen.
You'll find no fault, not only in his scrutiny. You'll find no fault in his suffering. He allowed it. He could have stopped it at any minute. He could have said, be dead. And they'd have fell like dead men.
Amen.
He allowed it. Servants smote him. Servants spit upon his face. In Mark 14:65, Matthew 27:26-30, the whole band of soldiers of Pilate, they mocked him and spit upon him and put a crown of thorns upon his brow and put a robe upon him and beat him over the head with a reed and made fun of him. They bowed down and mocked him. He allowed it. Luke 23:11, Herod and his men of war mocked him, sent him back to Pilate. Luke 23:24, Pilate then said, "Crucify ye him." Pilate had a problem. His problem was like every politician. He had a political problem. He was put in a position. They said, "If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar." You see, there's always going to be that little dilemma. What shall I do with this Jesus? You're going to have to do something with him.
Amen.
His wife said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." That's mission impossible. You can't have nothing to do with him. In him you live.
Amen.
And move and have your being. That's mission impossible. He had a personal problem. His wife said, "Don't have nothing." You know, you ever have, I tell you, "Don't have nothing to do with Jesus." Well, I had myself tell me that for 34 years. And I thought if I had anything to do with Jesus, I wasn't going to get to do the things I wanted to do. I thought I ain't going to be able to have no fun. I thought maybe when I live my life, when it's all gone, I'll give him what's left. I started living 28 years ago, 29 this year, April 27th.
Amen.
Because I had something to do with him.
Amen.
Opened the door of my heart. He took his rightful place upon the throne of my heart. And he lives and rules even today. Anyway, he made me whole. I'm complete in him. I'm not lacking nothing. I'm not trying to attain anything. I've done arrived. I'm complete in him. Anybody tells you you need something, a good dose of Jesus will fix it.
Amen.
We're complete in him. Glory. I find no fault in his suffering. Poor Pilate. Here he is politically. He can't let Jesus go. Personally, he don't want to be in this predicament. He wants to let him go. And he thinks like the world. And he says, "I know what I'll do. I'll just wash my hands from this matter." You know the history of Pilate? He spent the rest of his life. He went literally insane. He went to every body of water. "I can't get this blood out of my hands." You'll have to have something to do with him. There's no exit. Every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue is going to confess to him that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's mission impossible to have nothing to do with this Jesus. I'm telling you, we need more of him. Amen. You need more of him in your home. You need more of him in your heart. We need more of him in our world. They might want to say you can't pray in his name. Well, if you ain't going to pray in his name, don't bother praying. Jesus said, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will give it unto you." Well, why bother praying if you're not going to pray in Jesus' name? There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me." Why bother praying if you don't mention his name? Oh, but the world says, you know, the Bible says twice there in Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs chapter 16, it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end thereof is a way of death. There's a lot of people that are going to be just like it says there in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Broad's a way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." It says, "Narrow is a way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." You're either going to be one of the few or you're going to be one of the many. It's going to be disappointed when Jesus says, they'll say unto men that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? And he said, I'll tell them on that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. A lot of people are going to hear that, Brother Philip. Jesus said, I know my sheep by name. I call them by name. He said, another, they'll not fall. Another, they'll not follow. There in John chapter 10. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He loves his sheep. Cares for his sheep. He said, I come to my sheep. One of my favorite verses of the Bible is John 14, 18. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. You want to be comfortless? Well, if you don't want to be comfortless, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You remember back, of course, I'm 63. I'm sure there's probably somebody here remembers this, but doctors used to make house calls. They'd actually come to your house. Old Dr. McKinley come in there, take my temperature, look my ears, and he'd say, just give him some turpentine, he'd be all right. I know you probably remember it, don't you? Doctors used to make house calls. give him some of that turpentine. Give him some of that Vicks Vaseline there on his chest. There, he'd be all right. But oh, this world's in a terrible dilemma. They're like Pilate, politically. They can't have nothing to do with Jesus. Because I'm telling you, the world hates you because of him.
Right.
Friendship with this world's ending with God. Somehow or another, Philip, they want to mix it. Well, let me put it this way on the mixing it. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 1 that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. There's no 50 shades of gray with God. He's light. You want to have fellowship with him? You got to walk in the light as he's in the light. And if you do, you can have fellowship one with another. But don't think you can live in the gray or in the dark and have fellowship with God. But our politicians think, you know, we'll just have just a little bit. We'll just have a little bit of religion and it'll please the people. What about pleasing God? You know, they don't want to offend no one. How about offending him?
That's right.
You can't make this one world religion they're wanting to do. You can't do it. Jesus, he's that rock cut without stone. I mean, with that hand, he's that smiting stone. It just won't work. But listen, I find no fault in his suffering. Glory to God. Let me say this. I find no fault in his sacrifice. Now, he was scrutinized to the highest scrutiny. He was put through the greatest suffering that anyone has ever endured. But all for one reason. To give his life a ransom for all.
Amen.
He ransomed me. I can't remember what I'm trying to think of here, but I'll go ahead and say this anyway. I'm not my own. I know what it was. Thank you, Lord. I done forgot this. We got a little mud of a dog. Granddaughter, you know how they call them grand. It cost their grand then some, but you know, you never complain about it. They're worth it and then some. But anyway, she wanted a little dog, Brother Philip. And we got all loaded up and we went to Burksville. We got over there and this dog was bigger in reality than the picture was. And she was afraid of it. And I told this man, I said, Mister, we want to thank you for showing us your dog. And I said, we come prepared to buy it. He won $100 for it. And I had $100 in my billfold. But I said, it's too big. It scared my granddaughter. She don't want it. He said, hold on a minute. He went back there and got this little scrawny mud of a dog. I looked at this thing and there's fleas crawling all over it. And the granddaughter said, that's the one I want, Pop. And I said, how much for that one? He could have said $500. And I still took it. He said, I'll take $30 for it. I said, here you go. Praise God. We'll eat on the way home. Amen. Anyway, that little old dog's not little no more. He's still pretty small. But, you know, he's a little terrier. He's about that long. He thinks I hung a moon because he looks at me like he's looking at a cheeseburger. Because I feed him and nobody else will. He got up in my lap. Looked up at me with them eyes. And I looked down at that little dog and I said, little dog, you don't know this. But I paid good money for you. I said, I bought you. And I said, now you belong to me. And the Lord just got a hold of me. And he said, I've done the same thing with you, boy. Amen. You little Gentile dog. He said, I bought you. Glory to God. He Amen. Paid big money for me. Woo! What's wrong with y'all? Glory! I'm telling you, he purchased me from the grave. He purchased me from death, hell, and the grave.
Right.
Woo! Glory! Man, I don't know about y'all, but I was as good as dead. And he reached way down. Those songs says, when my Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down. Lord, if that won't light your wood, your wood's wet. Oh, he gave his life a ransom for all. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. All your sin. I can only imagine my sin, much less your sin. He took it all. He took it to Calvary. He nailed it to his cross. Never to be remembered. No more against me.
Amen.
As far as the east is from the west, he cast it. As long as you're going east, guess what? You can't find the west. If you're going west, guess what? You can't find the east. He put it far away as you can put it. Not North Pole, South Pole. He cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Never to remember no more against us. But I want you to know, glory to God, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he took it all the way. He set his face like a flint. He didn't do like most do today. He went all the way and laid his life down. Payment for your sins and for my sins. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame. Amen. Isaac was willing, but Isaac wasn't able to take away my sins. But oh, listen, Abraham rejoiced to see the day of God's Isaac. And the Bible said he saw it, John 8:56 and Genesis 22:14. I'm telling you what, not only he saw it, but boy, he's glad to see it, that it wasn't going to be another Isaac, and it was going to be God's Isaac, that he was going to be the lamb that to be sacrificed for Abraham's sins, for your sins, and for my sins, glory to God. Woo! Oh, listen. His sacrifice was the end of sacrifices.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 through 14. There's no more need to slit a lamb's throat. There's no more need to kill a bullock. No more need to make a sacrifice.
Right.
The Bible said in Isaiah 53 that God saw the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. It satisfied the demand of sin. It satisfied the righteousness of God. And Jesus, with one hand, took our sins, and with the other hand, he took the holiness of God, and he brought them together and said, be ye reconciled. And God said, for you, I will. You want that scripture? Ephesians 4:32. Now here, I didn't read that, but in Luke 23, Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And Ephesians 4:32 says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. That's how you get forgiven. Because he prayed through bloody lips and bruised face. He prayed through a crown of thorns. He prayed for you and me and for every sinner for all eternity. But Lisa, there's no more need for sacrifice. He also made the captain of our salvation perfect. Now, they found no fault in him, and neither will you. You can put him to the highest scrutiny. You can look at him from any angle. You can put him in any light. You can magnify and get down there with a microscope, electron microscope, and you'll find no fault in the Lamb of God.
Amen.
I'm justified through him. Acts 13:39, read it. by Him, we're justified from all things from which you cannot be through the law of Moses. I'm justified. That means when I stand before God and I say, no merit of my own, I plead the blood, I'm justified thanks to Him.
Amen.
I'm accepted in the Beloved. I have a home in heaven. I have residence. I'm no more a citizen of this country. I'm a fellow citizen with the people of heaven. I'm telling you, I call heaven home now because of Him and what He did. I'm telling you, I'm justified through Him. Amen. Good luck trying to justify yourself. Somebody said, well, I believe I'll be all right. I'll tell you how all right you'll have to be. If this man right here was Jesus Christ and I had him stand right here, if you could walk up here and be as righteous as Him, then you could be justified in the sight of God. But I believe the Bible said all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You just can't reach it. I'm telling you, it's the highest high, but He attained it and He sat down on the right hand of God. I'm telling you, I'm justified through Him.
Amen.
Whew. I pity this bunch, Brother Philip. They're going some way or other His way.
Right.
I pity these that think somehow they're going to please God without having the blood applied to their sins. I'm justified through Him. I'm sanctified through Him. Hebrews 10, verse 10. What that means is I can't add to what He done. I accepted it. It's finished. Now, He didn't say on the cross, I'm finished. He said, it's finished. The redemption work. The Bible said, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you, He saved me. Oh, Brother Eddie, all I did was get down and repent of my sins and ask Him to save me. And I'm sanctified through Him. And praise God, I hope I got enough voice left for this last one. I'm glorified through Him.
Amen.
I ain't seen Him in His glory. Woo! But I'm going to be there.
Right.
Brother Bobby, when they put that crown on Him. Woo! I'm going to be there when they place that rightful crown upon the King. Glory to God. We'll see Him in His glory. I'm glorified through Him. He prayed a priestly prayer in John 17, and He said, Father, I want the glory that You gave me upon these. Amen. I'm glorified through Him.
Amen.
I know y'all ain't never took a trip to heaven, but it's one of the kind of places you don't want to leave. That's why it's eternal. When you get there, you don't want to visit. When you get there, you say, it's a good place to be. Let's build some houses and let's just stay right here. I'm telling you, we ain't there yet, but I'm on my way, and it's nearer than when I believed.
Amen.
I'm closer to heaven today than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Some of you are a whole lot closer than you realize. I sit down and eat dinner with my beautiful 17-year-old daughter. May the 30th, 1995. I looked in her beautiful blue eyes, her beautiful blonde hair, and I had no idea that the next time I saw my beautiful daughter, she'd be laying in a coffin. You see, we see through a glass darkly. We just don't know who the next one's going to be. I just found out just a minute ago that a guy I worked with that we've been praying for, and I mean faithfully praying for every Saturday night, Dennis Woods, 10 years younger than me, I just found out he died this week. There's one thing that's certain in life. It's appointed unto man once to die. You won't reschedule. Not only that, after that, the judgment.
Amen.
Praise God, I had my case settled out of court.
Amen.
Amen. I pleaded guilty, and God said, yeah, you're guilty, but I'm going to pardon you. Amen. I'm going to pardon you. Amen. Woo! What's wrong with y'all? You ain't been pardoned or you ain't enjoying it? I'm telling you, praise God, for the freedom that Jesus gave this bound sinner. He sets captives free. I don't know what's binding you, but I know who can set you free.
Man.
Oh, me. How you dealing with that day, Brother Philip? Of course, as a father, I'm poking fun. She's talking about her boyfriend. She's thinking long term, and I am too. Neither one of us know. She got saved when she's 10 years old. Got her drunk daddy in church, got him saved. Didn't Jesus say a little child lead them? Boy, them little ones, boy, they do. They do a lot of good for God. She's thinking long term. Now I'm making fun of her boyfriend. And I said, you'll probably end up marrying that old wormy thing. She said, well, Dad, I'd just like to say I do really like him. And I said, honey, I just want you to know you got my blessing. I love you. As a father, I hugged her neck. She said, Dad, can I get some money from you for some gas? That's probably the whole reason she stopped by. I mean, she shows up unannounced at my mama's house, knowing I'm going to be there to eat dinner. Dad had left mom. Mom's living by herself. And I'm over there trying to comfort mom, and here comes my little 17-year-old daughter. Of course, I reached down that billfold, how much you need, hon? And I hand her some money, and she said, Dad, that's too much. And I said, you get on out of here, honey, and you be careful. Daddy loves you. She was careful, young man. But on the calendar of God, the Bible said, we live numbered days. Matter of fact, it says, approximately of those numbered days, Psalms chapter 90 says our days are 70. That's 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, then we're cut off and we fly away. But on the calendar of God, it may not be a 70.
That's right.
In her case, it was a 17. I don't elaborate too long here because I done preached long and I meant to preach anyway. But I still remember being out there at the hospital after I got that phone call. Now, I remember me and my wife being in that waiting room and we're crying. And I'm telling you, buddy, I can't hold them back. I don't care how big you are. When that's your daughter in there, you'll cry too. And I'm crying. And the door opens up and the doctor comes in there. And he looks at me. He says, are you her father? And I said, yes, sir. And he got down on his knees and he crawled to me. And he buried his face in my lap. And he wept for a long time. He looked up at me. He said, son, I'm sorry. I've done my best. I pulled him up and hugged him. I said, I know you did. Thank you. I know you done your best. See, they're just practicing positions. You remember that woman had that issue of blood? She went to many physicians, suffered many things, grew nothing better, rather worse. And finally she found out about another physician, the great physician, and he healed her just like that. And she felt in her body, she was healed of that plague. And she gave testimony. She said, I believe if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I'd be made whole. He said, go in peace, daughter.
Amen.
That doctor done his best. I remember Mike Swift. Mike Swift is a coroner. Is that what they call it? County coroner. He came to me and he said, Brother Ed, he is really nice, Brother Philip. He said, I'm sorry, but he said, I need you to sign this piece of paper to allow me to take your daughter's body from the hospital to the morgue. And ordinarily, I just sign it like John Hancock, just wipe them off the page. He took both hands, write my name on that piece of paper. Because I didn't want to accept this. I was in denial. I wanted my little baby daughter. But there's some things in life we ain't got no say in. Now you might say, I'll go do this and do that tomorrow. You ought to say, if the Lord be willing, I'll do this or that tomorrow. Because I'm telling you, buddy, I've been in the real world and I found out in this real world, some people don't go as far as other people go. I still remember me and my wife going to Hatcher Sadler Funeral Home to go up and pick out a coffin for this beautiful little girl. And I remember my wife leaning on me. Let me tell y'all something a little bit about marriage real quick. Especially you men. The Bible said that a wife's a gift from God. It said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's unconditional love. That means no matter what, you just love her. She ain't like you. She never will be. She ain't going to chew tobacco. She ain't going to watch football with you. But I'll tell you what, one day, you might need somebody to push you down the hall in a wheelchair. One day you might need somebody to change your diaper. One day you might need somebody to give you a bath. That's what's so beautiful about the marriage. The Bible said two is better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. That means put the Lord in your marriage, it's even better. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'm telling you, God designed this thing. And the first not good mentioned in the Bible, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll go down, I'll make a helpmate for him.
Right.
God done the first anesthesiology. God done the very first successful surgery. And of that rib, made he a woman. He done the very first marriage ceremony. He presented the very first bride. Adam said, I do, I do, I do, I do. Adam said, this should be called woman. First bone of my bone, flesh of my blood. A lot of things about the marriage. But my wife was there for me. And I was there for her. And I remember us walking down that hall with all them coffins. And that funeral director, he had to do this. I don't hold him against him. But he said, Brother Eddie, he said, I need to say this and then I'll leave. And y'all take your time. But he said, I need to tell you this. The further you go down this hall, the more expensive the coffins get. And I said, thank you, sir. We're not concerned about the price. We just want to bury our dead. About that time, my wife pointed at a coffin over there. She said, Cindy would like that one. I said, buddy, I don't care how much it is. That's the one we want. And the next time we saw that coffin, it had a beautiful little girl laying in there. It was tough. I'm telling you today, as a man today, you're living numbered days. As a woman today, you're living numbered days. I tell you what I do. I do some of this Jesus today.
Amen.
Because if you die without him, you hear the saddest words.
That's right.
Depart from me. I never knew you. Foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows me as of April 27th. And I hope you got a day just like that. I find no fault in him. You won't either. The only thing he's guilty of, loving hell deserving sinners. You won't find any other charge that you can attach to him. Somebody said, how much do you love me, Jesus? And he said, he stretched out his hand this far and died. Said that much. I'm going to take just a few more minutes. A little girl one day, lots of times people get confused. She got confused about the subject of love. You listen real good to me. It's a true story. She done the unthinkable. You know the devil will make you think nobody loves you. Well, he convinced this little girl nobody loved her. She done the unthinkable. She took a loaded gun, put it aside her head and pulled the trigger. It didn't kill her. But she's laying there dying. And the crowd's gathering around her. And they're gawking here, this beautiful young girl laying there, pool of blood. And an old white-headed preacher walking by, Brother Philip. And he saw the crowd and the commotion. He thought, well, I'll go over and see if I can be of any assistance. And he walked up there and he seen this little girl and it broke his heart. He said, honey, why'd you do it, honey? Why'd you do it? She said, preacher, nobody loves me. He said, honey, surely your mother loved you. She said, preacher, she never showed it. You know, lots of times we see things the way the devil wants us to see them. If we really done our homework, we kind of realize how many times we can say, mama does love me. And he said, honey, surely your father loved me, loved you. She said, well, preacher, he never showed it. You know, I'm sure that father loved her. I'm sure that mother loved her. He said, well, honey, surely your brothers and sisters loved you. She said, well, they never showed it. He said, honey, I love you. She said, you never showed it. Now, Bud, he had to shut his mouth. What would you do in that predicament? But then the light came on. You know what he said? He said, honey, Jesus loves you. And she shut her mouth. Amen. Amen. That every mouth may be stopped. Nobody can say Jesus doesn't love me. Woo! Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. I'm telling you, greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I find no fault in him. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for your word, to brag on your son, to proclaim the gospel, the good news that Christ Jesus come in this world to save sinners. I don't know the needs here, but Lord, you do. You know every hurt, and you're able to heal. You know every single need, and you're able to help. But Lord, you also said in John chapter 5, verse 40, you said, you will not come to me that you may have life. Help them today, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I'd like to ask everyone to stand. I don't know who's going to do the invitational here. Listen, Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus? His wife said, have thou nothing to do with Jesus? Pilate was put in position, a political dilemma. If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar's. I'm telling you, it'll cost you to live for Jesus, but it's worth every penny of it.
Amen.
I have no regret, Brother Philip, and I wish I'd done it sooner.
That's right.
I wish I could do it again. I might go through it one more time. Hallelujah. That's the most wonderful thing I ever experienced in my life. I still remember going looking in the mirror thinking, where's my halo at? There's still horns. But I'll tell you what, buddy. I couldn't deny what he'd done on the inside. Go ahead. Everybody stand, please, if you're able. If you need to come this morning, I promise you this. God is able to meet your need. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He can meet your need. Things are impossible with men. Listen, they're possible with Him.
Amen.
There's nothing He can't do except one thing. That's lie. And I'm glad He can't. You need to come this morning. Maybe you'll just come and say, Lord, thank you. Having mercy on an old hell-deserving sinner like me. Let me tell you something, buddy. He deserves the reward of his suffering. You may not give it, but the rocks will when we go out. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be given glory. You ought to come this morning and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I go to altar every single invitation, Bethel Baptist Church. What for, Brother Eddie? I go up there to thank him for saving an old hell-deserving sinner like me, for having mercy, for forgiving me, for saving me and blessing me every single day of my life. God bless you, Brother Philip. He'll not be the only one. There ought to be others come this morning. Lord, thank you for being merciful unto me, a sinner. Ought to be a bunch come up this morning. Say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for blessing me. I'm telling you, buddy, you won't find no fault in Him. Oh, He's great to be praised. He may not ever get it, but He's great to be praised. He inhabits the praise of His people. Are you one of His? Won't you just come up here this morning? Like Brother Jeff said, is there anything that needs to be done? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to do something with this Jesus this morning. You ought to come up here and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me another day. A lot of people didn't wake up this morning. If you woke up this morning, you ought to come up here and say, thank you, Lord. God bless that Father and that Son. There ought to be some more come. What are you going to say one day when you stand and God said, I beckon you to come to give me praise, to give me glory, but you would not? Maybe here this morning you need to be saved. You know it. God knows it. Maybe nobody else don't know it, but you know it. God knows it. He's trying to draw you with cords of love. He said, come. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. You'll find rest unto your soul. The Bible said there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I'm telling you, the Bible also says great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall by any means offend them. Psalms 119, verse 165. Won't you come this morning and get a good blessing? Won't you come this morning and get stirred up a little bit about what Jesus done for you? All the waters of trouble this morning. Won't you come this morning? What are you waiting on? Devil beating you out of a blessing this morning? Won't you come this morning? Oh, if nothing else, just raise up a hand and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. The Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you thankful this morning? Maybe you don't know the Lord. You know, I knew Barack Obama, but I didn't know him personally. I know Jesus Christ personally. I have a personal relationship. I was talking with him this morning, 3 o'clock. Had a good, healthy conversation with him. Wouldn't you like to get to know the Lord personally? Well, he welcomes you to have that privilege of knowing him personally. You know, if you got an invitation from our new president to come up to the White House and meet him personally, I can see you going through the community. Guess what? I got an invitation to go meet the president. This is greater. Listen, when God couldn't swear by none greater, he swore by his own name to Abraham because it don't get no greater than him. And the Bible said Abraham staggered not the promise of God. You got an invitation. You'll do something with this Jesus.
Amen.
Bless you, preacher. Let you take his service here.
Brother,
all right. Anybody got anything you need to do? Testimony? Word in your heart? Something you need to give God praise about? You know, if you do. I ain't going to ring the dish rag. If you got one, give it. If not, we'll be dismissed. We'll go home. But oh, he's been good to me. I find no fault in him. The only thing he can be guilty of is loving hell-deserving sinners. And you know it's true. You know what? Paul talked about going on his hell-bent way, breathing out, threatening the Christians and the churches. You know what he said? He said, I saw one in the way. Oh, Eddie Wade was on his way to hell. You know what? I saw one in the way. If he had been in my way, I'd have made it. He stood between me and hell, and he said, I love you. He said, if you're going to go, you're going to have to go through me. Why argue? I just fell down. I said, Lord, if you'll have me, here I am. Woo! He stood in my way, Brother Philip. You got to figure out somewhere around him to make up in that place of the damned, a place where the fire's not quenched, where the worm dieth not. I'm telling you, buddy, you got to figure out a way to get around him.
Amen.
He won't let you go without getting in your way. And word on anybody's heart. Glad you're saved.
Amen.
Well, I didn't mean to preach this long, but I enjoyed every minute of it. Thank y'all for having me up. I know